Okay, we are live. I'm just gonna tweet the link. It'll let me highlight. It's not letting me. Just let me copy it.
Oh yeah.
There we go.
Mike Rube.
Welcome to episode 76 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I have only played Hacky Sack like once or twice, really, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and might I say, you all look absolutely lovely tonight.
My name is Jason Lamb, a resident Canadian, and Hunter is a known liar.
Known liar?
I totally know that you're a liar, Hunter. Public record. It's official.
Where?
On a plaque somewhere?
I mean, I don't know. What was the lie? What did I lie about?
Well, there was at one time you said that Sega, and I quote, was a competent game company.
At one point, yes, they were.
Oh, I got all these
at one point in their history. Ah, well, so was Atari. Look at them now. Look at Nintendo.
Wow. Okay, that was good. That was sharp. Yeah,
and look at Microsoft and look at Sony. They're all incompetent. Idiots.
I do remember seeing a banner from Sony the other day. It was on Twitter. They released this big image, and it was like 4 million copies of the PS4 sold. Thank you, Sony fans. And it's like, wow, remember when like 4 million would have been such a tiny number for a console?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Like, gaming is not what it used to be in terms of mainstream console popularity.
Yep.
Why buy a console?
Oh, it's the PC Master Race.
Yeah, PC Master Race.
And the 3DS for portable people and iPads.
That's true, yeah.
And mobile phone stuff. I mean, why buy a console? That's what retro gaming is all about now.
I like my 3DS.
I feel like I would like one if I had one. I would like a 3DS.
I should really play mine more.
Excuse me. You should.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that.
Good.
Cool.
Good.
We're all waiting. We're all happy that that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's actually... know that you're playing video games always warms my heart.
Thank you.
My heart is somewhere in here. So you know.
In the chesticle.
Somewhere in here.
I don't know what he's doing.
Just fell out of my chair there. Never mind. So have you guys played any old video games lately? Or, you know.
What?
Or have you been throwing rocks at hobos?
A little of both.
Cool.
Probably more on the retro gaming side.
It's probably a good thing.
I definitely stamped my card from the rock throwing to hobo time. Punch Out, played a little Punch Out.
Yeah, are you any good at Punch Out? That's a challenging game.
Define pretty good.
Did you get to Tyson?
No, that's ridiculous. I'm playing it, I lose it at Macho Man every time.
Okay, that's not bad.
So, and I just barely get over Soda Popinski. Just barely.
That's actually similar to me. I can usually get to Popinski. Beating him is like a 1 out of 3 odds for me.
Right. It's even worse if I had been drinking. And then I'll be lucky if I make it past, what's his name, the Great Tiger?
I think that is his name.
Yeah. I'll be lucky if I can pass him.
That's pretty bad. But at least when you're drinking while playing Punch-Out, you are staying more true to the original game, which rather than Soda Popinski had Vodka Drunkinski as a foe.
They changed it because they didn't want all the Russians to think they were alcoholics.
Yeah. But they left in all of the other stereotypes.
Exactly, yeah. It's kind of It's kind of, yeah.
Yes, yeah, the flamboyant Spaniard.
So, did you guys hear the story about Mike Tyson actually playing Punch-Out?
No.
No.
Okay, oh, this is going to be great then. So Mike Tyson was, the rumor is that he was given $30,000 for his likeness for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for like 6 months. And then after the six-month contract was up, they would bring the, they would re-release the game with Mr. Dream, and it would just be considered Punch-Out.
Yep.
So Mike Tyson said, sure, give me free money. I'll sign on the dotted line. He had never played the game until like 6 to 8 months ago. And he lost to Glass Joe.
Oh, no, no.
He lost the Glass Joe. So this was...
You'd have to set the controller down and walk away.
So here's the thing, because Glass Joe has one win and 99 knockouts, or 99 losses.
So the
his one win is against Mike Tyson. How full circle is that? That is
that's
perfect.
Awesome.
Like I couldn't write that any better.
That is pretty good, I admit. That's
so
a great
good
story.
Yeah.
That just made the episode right there. We can just wrap it up and go home, folks. We're done.
All right.
Go home, guys.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks. It's been great. Yeah.
Whoa.
No,
so that is out. Unless Jason has been playing any old games.
I did. I played. I played Resident Evil 2.
For that game,
for the wait.
Wait. Uh oh.
For the GameCom.
What? Ooh. Why?
Oh, because Jason. I downloaded it and it was there, and it was.
Oh jeez.
It was the thing dreams are made of.
The thing that dreams are made of.
The most like, Jason Lamb thing to do ever.
Yeah, I just
so I played Resident Evil 2. Oh, that's a great game on the GameCom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, just I'm going off track here. We're currently having a rain/snow thunderstorm.
Snowstorm. Woo. Or thunder snow, as we
think. Yeah, thunder snow. Yeah.
We had fog here tonight. That was so bad. There was a 15-car pileup at the exit I used to get home.
Damn.
Wow.
And an oil tanker was on fire, and it made the news. And my wife
That's
thought
awesome.
I was dead for a little while.
Sweet.
She thought I might have been in it. Big pileup. I wasn't.
It's good.
It's good.
Obvious.
It's good.
It's good.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. But yeah, so if my power goes out, now you know why.
Cool. So if the lights behind you go out... But your computer runs on its battery. You'll be fine. Yeah. You'll just look super creepy, which is appropriate because you've been playing Resident Evil 2.
On the GameCom.
On the GameCom. On my computer. What?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, how was it?
It was.
Is it
tell us all about
it.
Can I swear?
Can you swear?
Yes.
Like it was. It was a load of. A heaping load of shit, but it was a pixelated, just massive. Oh, God damn, that was awful.
Wow. So it's not that good.
No, it's a must play.
Oh.
Because it will make literally anything else seem good.
Good. Well, that's good.
I think Jason has his review a bad game day game picked
out.
Yeah,
I think I do.
It's the entire
my review
GameCom
great
library.
Game day.
Ooh, sad but true. That's kind of interesting considering what game I've been playing.
Uh oh.
Was it Resident Evil 2?
No.
On the Game Boy Color?
No.
It was never released.
I bought the Resident Evil remake on GameCube.
Yeah.
So
good, man.
It is good. It looks great. Like I was expecting like a slight visual upgrade. It's a completely different looking game.
Overhauled.
But it's really cool because I haven't played the original Resident Evil since it originally came out. Like when my friend bought it from like Toys R Us and we went over and spent several nights going through it together. Like, so I don't remember anything. I'm not the kind of guy that I try and stay spoiler free even on old games. So, like, I tried to open the front door just for fun, forgetting that when you do that, one of the dogs that originally chased you to the mansion like leaps in. So here I am, like like very beginning of the game, trying to fend myself off against this dog. I actually killed the dog, but then died on the first zombie. I mean, I'm horrible at it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's Yeah, it's.
Did you make it to the graveyard?
Not yet. I'm not even that far yet. No.
Well, no, that's like the first 5 minutes.
No, I'm not even that far yet. I'm taking my sweet time walking around the kitchen table, looking at everything. You know, I saved.
Wesker
once
comes
and
out
I,
like, "Hey,
went...
you can go over here." I was never here. Wesker closes the door.
I'm just like running through all the hallways I can without actually opening any doors, finding two zombies and like dodging, just running around them. I'm just taking my time. I'm nervous and scared. Like, not because the game is scary, but I had this fear playing it that I've been so spoiled by like later Resident Evil games that I think it's kind of lame. But no, I am enjoying it so far. It's still a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they updated the combat system too, right? Like the knife isn't worthless in that one. I can't remember.
That seems pretty worthless to me still.
It's got to be better than it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't? Well,
yeah,
see, I lent my
GameCube
out.
I think it's the Dreamcast version that has the arcade-style controls. I mean, this is still tank controls and everything. I mean, it's still pretty...
No, GameCube or the Dreamcast is still tank controlled.
Really? What's the one that isn't? What's the one they
four?
Redid the controls?
Yeah, four.
No, but I thought there was a remake of the original where they redid.
I thought it still had the tank controls for the GameCube.
Yeah, because Code Veronica still has tank controls.
But I know, but what's the one that doesn't? I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just crazy. I thought there was a remake where they updated the controls, but maybe I'm just.
The 64 version, maybe.
No. Someone will fact check me in the live stream. Go ahead, fact checkers. Correct me on this, because I'm having a fever dream here where I'm probably misremembering two different things and combining them.
It's a great game.
Needlessly. Great game, yeah. It's fun. I'm glad I picked it up.
Definitely adds to what the original one was. In a good way.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, gosh. Let me know when you get to the cabin. That's one of my favorite scenes.
I will let you know.
Is it in the woods?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's right. In the back there, you know.
Super creepy. If you thought the dog was bad.
Yeah. Wait till you meet her.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, actually. I'll just try to build artificial tension.
Run, coward.
Speaking of building artificial tension, we got a listener email discussion question.
Yeah.
It was like this. Hello, Retro... One More Podcast. Okay, that was kind of funny. Disney buys a lot of stuff. Star Wars for $4 billion? What if they bought Nintendo? Ignore the probability of this happening for a moment. So Disney, with all of Nintendo's assets, decides that there needs to be a Nintendo section of Walt Disney World. And they come to you... and want you to design the section of the park complete with Princess Toadstool or Zelda's castle right in the middle, just like Cinderella's castle at Magic Kingdom. My question in this scenario is, assuming you get to do as many projects as you want, what is the one you put most of your heart and hard work into? For me, I'm torn between recreating a few stages from the Super Mario Bros. Games, where you get to run and jump and go in pipes, and creating the ultimate Star Fox ride. Sure, a 3D Star Fox has already been done on the Virtual Boy with Red Alarm.
Oh, come on.
That's a great callback. A virtual ride with spaceships, lasers, and explosions would be amazing. Thank you for the hard work and amazing show the three of you do. It truly is my favorite podcast ever. Signed, Dustin Faber, who can be found at 16-Bit Catholic on Twitter, a longtime fan. Many time emailer, and he signs off by saying P.S. He gets cut off there, so I hope he's alive and well. Sorry that his email got cut off. I don't know what happened there.
Right.
Always good to hear from you though, Dustin. And to those of you who have emailed us before, you can email us more than once. That's totally legit and cool. Like,
that's a thing that happens.
Yeah, we've had enough episodes now where we have a good enough mix of longtime people and new people that we want the mix. Bring on the multiple emails. So it's always podcast@onemorecastle.com. So what do you guys think of the question?
I'm not going to, you could do the castle, but there's already so many castles in Disney World or Disneyland. or whatever Disney you're talking about. I'm going in a completely different direction. Like, I actually did research to verify that I could even do this. So Nintendo owns half of Silicon Knights, which is a developer from back in the day. I don't know what they're doing now, but whatever they're doing, it's not on Nintendo. But one of the things that they had copyrighted that Silicon Knights had created was the sanity meter from Eternal Darkness.
Oh, no.
That's what I want. I want a haunted house in the sense of Eternal Darkness. Like, I just want the absolute most craziest balls-to-the-wall shit you could possibly think of. And I wanted to keep track of my insanity through the meter. Like, that, like, and I, like, it would be like a visual on the wall, like from a TV screen. So, like, as you're running by, like, it, the sanity meter pops up and it's like, oh, no, you're down to here now. And you're like, son of a, you know, that's what I want. I want the creepiest haunted house possible.
Right.
Using all of the great things that made Eternal Darkness so wonderful. That's cool. What I want.
Me likey. Jason, what would you do?
I'm going to get slightly lazy with this.
Awesome.
I'm going to take the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. So essentially, if anyone's been on to Disney, the Magic Kingdom, you're essentially just in a boat going through water, and it's just these static kind of semi-animated mannequins of pirates. And you're going through
kinda
different
like this
scenes.
Podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd like to replace all that with Metroid.
So oh! You'd have
space pirates. But you'd make it high tech because the original ride was opened in 1973, according to the Book of Knowledge.
No.
So, you know, it would actually be good. I'd be a little spaceship, you know, see all these cool scenes. Holograms. Be fun for the whole family.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. You actually stole mine, so I feel like kind of crummy right now. Not specifically taking Pirates of the Caribbean and changing it, though. So yours is probably actually a better idea. I was thinking, I'm that weird kid who always liked the laser gun rides. Like, you sit in a little mine cart and shoot at stuff as you go through on rails experience. I was thinking, do that with Metroid. Like, you stick your arm into an arm cannon on the front of the vehicle, then you're using that to shoot everything. Like you're Samus. I thought that would be cool. I would like to say, though, I question the ambition of this email, because it's like, well, what if Disney bought Nintendo and you were in charge of a portion of a Disney park dedicated... I'm sorry, but are you really saying Nintendo is not big enough or popular enough to merit its own separate theme park?
Yeah, they could do it in, like, India or something.
Even in the email, it's like, well, they have castles that would just be like the Cinderella's and Magic. You know, duh, you have that as a centerpiece, you know, Mushroom Kingdom. I mean, I think if you thought about it, there's enough Nintendo
crap
stuff. I was going to go with stuff.
Oh, okay.
That you could easily make a theme park out of the whole thing. You know, the Mega Man experience where you step on a spike and you die instantly. No.
Nice.
The little Mac challenge where you actually get to fight Mike Tyson. That'd be fun, right?
Yeah.
But instead of, like, bumper cars, you'd actually have, like, kart racing. That'd be cool. And you could throw banana peels at the other racers. Or turtle shells. That'd be kind of weird, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or they could give you, like, a star where it's really just a bunch of acid and you think that you're, like, you're invincible. Gotta make sure you drink enough water, though. That's the thing. It's all about drinking water.
Oh, I want to bring up Silicon Knights, because he mentioned it. They actually partner with my work. They have a game lab at the university I work at.
Oh, that's cool. That's like
It's like a the applications of academia to gaming and vice versa. I don't know. But other than that, they've just been getting sued for the last 10 years.
Oh.
That's usually what happens when you double cross Nintendo. Like, oh, what do you want to do again?
What do you want to do?
So copyrighted, bitch. What?
Good old Nintendo.
Good old
Sending
Nintendo.
Sending their goons to break some kneecaps.
That's right. And I have the
Hammer
Brothers.
Figure out how to bypass the lockout chip?
That's right. Oh, you don't like gray carts? Gold stuck for us.
We're going to make the Super Nintendo 10,000 times harder to do that on.
Still figured it out, though.
Still figured it out.
Yeah.
By stealing Sega's myth.
There you go.
The cosmic irony of it all.
I would participate in a Nintendo World Land amusement park.
Theme park, yeah. I would, too. Because in the haunted house, as long as you look directly at the ghosts, they won't chase you.
I'm going to go out there and say I'd like Disney to buy Nintendo.
It's because you don't have any skin in the game, Jason. That's why. If you had skin in the game, it'd be a completely different conversation.
In the what?
In the game.
Oh, the game.
Hunter, you are so weird sometimes. I love it.
What do you mean sometimes?
I was about to say I'm strange all the time, so you just get used to it. But with you, it's like punctuated weirdness.
That's right.
Because you don't have any skin in the game, Jason.
Well, he doesn't, though. That's the thing.
Well, I'm not saying it's not true.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but my heart broke a little bit when Sega decided to get out of the hardware console wars. That's a little upsetting. I mean, it was their own fault, the reason that they were there, but it was still very upsetting.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So, you know, sometimes...
Sometimes...
Yep. Still waiting on the Dreamcast 2.
Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be here before you know it. Hey, man, the Xbox, they're going to close down the Xbox One, so what's the matter? It's just Sega's invitation to come out and bring out a new console.
They just got to start a Kickstarter, right? Just Kickstarter it.
That is, the greatest idea. Like, you want the biggest Kickstarter ever? Hey, we're from Team Sega. We're going to bring out the Dreamcast 2, but we need some help. Done.
What?
People will physically be throwing money at the screen.
They would. They would. They would drive to actually, face to face, donate all the cash in their wallets.
Yeah.
They would write checks of all their saving account money and just have my life savings, Sega. I just want a Dreamcast 2.
There you go. I would participate.
And then Sega would keep pushing back the date that would be released, but then surprise release it a couple months ahead of time one day without publicizing it. Sega! Oh, you and your old tricks.
This is bad marketing.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of talking about Sega. Let's take a music break. And we're back. Hope you enjoyed the music break. That was kind of a special track from the video game cover band Descendants of Erdrick. But that was a sample track of some of their Legend of Zelda themed stuff. But the great thing is Descendants of Erdrick is actually working on a full-length album dedicated to classic RPG and adventure game covers. I've been told that Super Mario RPG, Final Fantasy VI, and Secret of Mana are among those that made the cut. And we've had some great music on the music break lately, so please download the free track, support the artists. In this case, you're going to have to find them on Google or Facebook, Twitter, however you want to find them. Descendants of Erdrick. It's a reference to the Dragon Warrior character, so they're obviously from the excellent guitar work you just heard. They're good stuff. So, yeah, Legend of Zelda sample track. Whoop, whoop. Speaking of Legend of Zelda, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know, this is the part of the show. It's probably the best part of the show, honestly. Let's be real. Where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game, and we're going to have 1 minute to introduce which game we picked, but then we just kind of spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast page when it goes live on onemorecastle.com. Speaking of that vote, two episodes ago, the theme was Nintendo Power Volume 94. Each of us had to pick a game from a specific issue of Nintendo Power. Very cool. And I won with Super Mario Kart. It was awesome. It was great.
Was it? Was it great?
It's been a while, Hunter. That's all I'm saying. It's been a while. My choice was Super Mario Kart, and it beat out Donkey Kong Country 3 and Mortal Kombat Trilogy. Thank you, voters. It won by a count of 19 to 15 to 6. So we had like 40 votes. So that's
wow.
So good to see. Yeah.
That's great up
episode,
there.
I guess. So thanks for voting for my game, everybody. Appreciate the support. Tonight's theme, if you remember last week, our theme was games for, what was it, portable systems?
Yeah.
This week, it's games for home consoles. So not portables, not PCs. It has to be on a video game console, a retro game from a console. It's pretty broad, but you know, whatever, that's how we do. Jason, if you got 1 minute on the clock for me.
Oh, I do. Are you ready?
You know, honestly, no, not really.
Perfect. We're in the same boat.
I normally script out my intro for the game. I just couldn't for this game. I don't know what to say about it. I wanted to pick it, but now I'm like, ooh, maybe I made the wrong decision. I'm just going to wing it. That's cool.
Cool. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
You had to pick a game for a console, and you're winging it?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I picked the game. I did that much.
Jeez.
I'm ready.
All right, go.
So tonight I went back to the NES, and I picked a game that's a subject, I'm not going to say of controversy, but of strong opinions. I think it's one of the most misunderstood games in gaming history, and I mean that without any exaggeration or hyperbole. It is Deadly Towers. One of the toughest games on the 8-bit console for Nintendo, and one of the most ambitious. The game is huge. I mean, the towers refers to this castle you're traversing throughout the entire gameplay. You can get lost in the game. You can go through rooms for hours without knowing where you are. You have to find certain items. Your character is pretty weak for a long time. But there's something to be said about such a free-form, sandbox-style game. Maybe not sandbox, maybe that's the wrong word, but it's so expansive, immersive, and huge. It's a man's kind of game. It's beefy sandwich game.
What's it called?
Deadly Towers.
Beefy
sandwich. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm like, beefy sandwich, the game?
That's all I got.
Beefy
that's all sandwich. I can remember.
Yeah, all right. Beefy, all sandwich that, beefy sandwich for the Nintendo.
Burger time?
Beefy sandwich.
Also, another platforming game, much like RoboCop, that you can't jump in.
Oh, it's not a platforming game. It's an isometric game. I love isometric
Talking about
games.
Burger Time.
Oh, sorry.
Skipping over your
Burger Time
pieces.
I guess my time is up.
Zelda ripoff.
All right, Hunter.
Yes, sorry.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am here. Wait, what? Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, you may begin.
My pick for this week's Retro Showdown holds a special place in my retro heart. Still remember the day that we bought it. One of the first in its very creative style in the NES library. An original Black Box title, it's Urban Champion. Released in 1984, Urban Champion is a two-player fighting game that pits you on the mean streets of some city where there's a ton of snack shops and bookstores, and your job is to become the Urban Champion by punching your opponent into a sewer manhole. You can fight against a computer or your friends in a one-on-one combat, punch and block your way to victory, but watch out for those falling flower pots. There seems to be some sort of epidemic within the city. It's Urban Champion for the NES.
Wow, that was your shortest speech yet.
You're welcome. Remember when we had 2 minutes to do this?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I do. Can you believe we we spent 6 minutes on the introductions.
Yeah, it's
awful.
Painful.
I mean, that was, we were trying to, like, I had gotten to the point where, like, I'd write it out and then I'd read it and check the time. And it's like, I'm barely hitting 45 seconds. How are we supposed to do 2 minutes? It's crazy.
That was crazy.
All right, I guess I'll begin. Released in 1982 for the Atari 2600, this data age developed game is a classic. That's right, it's Journey Escape. Featuring the band Journey, the player must lead the band members to their Scarab escape vehicle, as featured on the cover, and protect the concert cache from love-crazed groupies, sneaky photographers, stage barriers, and shifty-eyed promoters. Assisting the player are roadies, which provide short periods of immunity to obstacles, and the manager, inexplicably depicted as the Kool-Aid Man, which allowed the player to move to the scare completely unhindered. That's Journey Escape for the Atari 2600, which also features the tune Don't Stop Believin'.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It has an excerpt from it. It does. It has an excerpt from it.
I want to hear it. Wow. This is atrocious.
Journey Escape.
Wow.
Can I just say,
where do you find this shit, man? I mean, I know the 2600's got a huge library.
OneMoreCastle.com.
Yeah, come on.
You're kidding me, really?
Yeah, it's been
have they?
On the site. I think so. Let me double check. I'm just the editor in chief here. It's not like, you know.
I have no idea what's going on in this game. Like, there's
Journey.
Scarab.
Oh yeah, it has on Atari poop.
There's hearts with legs and space and angry men with purple hats.
Atari poop has not been name dropped nearly enough on this podcast. Rest in peace, Atari poop.
Wow, Jason.
What? It's a classic.
I mean, I don't even know what the. I don't know. What, I don't. I don't even. I don't.
Come on! It's a tie-in to the Escape album by Journey.
I think the
Yet
most upset
does not feature that song.
I think the most upsetting thing about this game is the fact that you don't play as one of the members of Journey. You're just on the road with them.
No. You lead band members.
It says you're on the road with Journey. That doesn't mean that you are
you're
Journey.
Leading them. You are Journey.
For any listeners / watchers that are wondering, like, what is this game like? You can find gameplay clips on YouTube or actually on the Atari Poop article about Journey Escape on OneMoreCast.com. It's
hence
like
on
a,
the word poop.
It's like, we cannot get away from that word. It's almost like an endless runner kind of game, because your character just dodges items that fall down the screen. That's all the game is. Stuff falling down, and you moving back and forth and up and down a little bit trying to dodge it all. That's
amazing.
Escape. It's awful.
It's beautiful.
So
I had anxieties about the game I brought. I thought, oh my gosh, what if they bring like some awesome, legendary, amazing... I thought, I'll take the fall this week. I'll be the fall guy. I'll take the obscure, quirky, most people hate it kind of game. But Urban Champion is so bad. That's one of the worst games.
It's not true at all.
Like, I am so surprised that I so clearly have brought the best game. Like, this is blowing my mind. I don't know what to do with myself.
That's a joke, right?
I thought by far I would have the worst game. And all of a sudden, I'm clearly...
second place.
No, first.
No,
easily.
You're second place.
Easily. Urban Champion is so bad.
Guys, no, Journey Escape's the best.
No.
If you were to play Journey Escape to completion, it takes about 2 minutes, and that's about five times longer than it takes to play Urban Champion.
You know what that means? You can play it twice in the span of Don't Stop Believing.
So I'm reading. I'm on the Book of Knowledge because, I mean, this whole Journey Escape thing is just blowing my mind right now, right? And I'm at the music section. And I would just like to read it if that's okay with everybody.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Please.
Despite the title of the game, Journey Escape, the song Escape is not featured in the game. The intro tune is an excerpt of Don't Stop Believing, which is also on the same album. The in-game music, however, appears to be an original tune rather than based on a Journey song.
Which doesn't make any sense, because music doesn't appear. It's not a visual form.
Well, my question is does Journey even, the band, Journey, do they even know that this game exists?
Oh, yeah. They also had an arcade game 2 years later.
It was probably like a Mike Tyson situation. Like, they just signed off and never actually played it.
That's tough,
man. We'll give you some money, and we'll slap your name on it.
Slappy, slappy.
I'm still trying to figure out. Apparently, they are trying to get away from crazed groupies, sneaky photographers, stage barriers, and shifty-eyed promoters. But yet, they're in space.
We can't get away from everybody.
Not even in space. Journey is so popular that you could go to space. The final frontier.
There's still groupies everywhere.
And there's still groupies and photographers from TMZ.
How many shifty-eyed managers can there be?
Oh, you know, like, that's the 80s.
What's that mean? It's the 80s.
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I can just throw that out, and someone somewhere will be like, yeah, it is the 80s. He's right. It's like how I couldn't bring Sonic for the GameCom, and people were like, yeah, Sonic, I'll vote for that.
Oh, I really hope that doesn't win. Like,
you know it will.
I'm going to slip my wrists.
you know what the saddest thing about Urban Champion is, Hunter?
It's amazing.
The saddest thing about Urban Champion is that the most exciting event that happens throughout the whole game, the most exciting aspect you can possibly experience, is if you let the time run out before a fight can actually finish. If you let the time run out, you get to see the guy get arrested by the cops.
Yeah.
That is the most exciting thing that can happen, but it only happens if you do nothing. You have to let time run out. And then you get to see someone get arrested. That's the most exciting thing that happens.
Or maybe you're in such a fierce brawl with another player that time runs out. That's understandable. As a first run release for the NES, a 2D fighter, very impressive.
Not really.
Sure it is. There's strategy. You've got blocking. Hot, you've got medium hits. You've got light punches and heavy punches and... I mean, you have to mix it up to combo. I mean, this is one of the first games for the NES that it's actually a counter-operative kind of game. It's not like I go, then player two goes, or we're working together. Like, it's a literal head-to-head game to find out
you
who...
put your head against the head of your other friend. And you bash them together.
While you're playing,
who is the Urban Champion?
Yeah. Is that not right?
Hearing the arguments you're using, the stretches you have to take in order to defend Urban Champion, makes me wish
the stretches
that you would pick something like 50-yard fight or 10-yard fight or 100-yard fight, whatever that game is stupid called. I would love to see how you would defend 10-yard fight.
Karate chop.
I just
said that. No, this is one of the first games. Not only so it's a fighting game, right? 2D fighting game. Two-player fighting game. First of its kind. especially on the NES. But not only that, it was so, it was such a visionary title that rather than staying on the exact same screen for every round the entire fight, you actually move to a completely different setting per round. They haven't recreated something even similar to that until recently with like the Justice League game.
Oh,
or
right.
The new Mortal
hold
Kombat.
On, hold on.
Yeah.
You're giving a little... The screen you're moving to is a different colored block.
No, it's a completely different arena.
No, no, it's like, okay, now the city background is a little different color blue,
right.
And the bricks are red, yep. And it says snack bar. Oh, wait, now the bricks are gray,
right.
And it says bookstore.
Is that not a completely different area?
Oh, hold on, the bricks are brown, and it says barbershop.
Yeah.
It's lazy. It's
no,
not
it's
a whole
inventive.
New environment.
It's inventive. It's really taking a chance.
Who gets into a fist fight in front of the bookstore? The creators of Urban Champion have clearly never actually been involved in some kind of street fight.
Yo, man, Hemingway's the best. Obvious. Don't you diss Hemingway. I'll kick your ass.
Wow. Wow. That's how the fight breaks out, defending the
merits. What's
your
take on Vonnegut?
Anyway.
And his essay on the seven shapes of story. Shakespeare's overrated, bro.
Harper Lee needed to make one book because it was perfect.
Yeah, you don't get up. Wait, there's some asshole over at the barbershop. He's getting the same haircut as me.
Hold on a second.
I'll kill your mockingbird.
Oh, flower pots. God, that was like the thing back in the retro game, like the 8-bit days.
What the hell is a snack bar?
It's a snack bar.
Go there and get snacks.
Yeah. What kind of question is that?
Duh.
What the hell's a snack bar?
It's a bar that you eat.
Yeah, and get snacks from. You know, most...
It's like a chocolate bar.
You know, most like department stores and stuff had like a lunch bar. Because there weren't really restaurants.
I understand that, but why is there a whole building that says snack bar?
Wouldn't you like to go to a building that was labeled snack bar?
But wouldn't you like to snack it up at the snack bar with me?
Your game sucks, Hunter.
It's not as bad as Deadly Towers, that's for sure.
No,
Deadly Towers at least looks interesting.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you. It's
you want to talk about a game that looks like crap. Man, this game.
At least you actually travel to different environments.
Yeah!
It's a city. I mean, cities all look the same. Come on.
No. You're right. They do. Like in Urban Champion.
Like in Urban
it all looks the same. The city looks completely the same.
Every city looks the same.
Well, Hunter, as much to a great extent better my game is than yours, that sentence was a grammatical nightmare. At least me and you, Hunter, can both agree that our games... have graphics.
That's true. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes,
you don't
they do.
Need graphics when you have Journey.
Jason, your game is just like random pixels that like accidentally tumble to the bottom of the screen. There's no visual acuity whatsoever.
Sure, there are. It's pretty rough.
There's some. It's pretty rough. Like, some developers...
Yeah, it looks like a half-finished, like, grade 5 student project, but...
whatever. Journey. Your game isn't a piece of crap.
So that's what it kind of makes me think, like, somebody was, like, screwing around with the Atari 2600 sound chip, and they're like, hey, guys, listen to this, and they're like, it's Don't Stop Believing, and you're like, wow, that doesn't sound bad. We just got a game. Because that's how it worked back then. It's like, oh.
What's the simplest, crappiest concept that we know how to make? Let's make it and then get Journey to sign off.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you figure out how to drop a bomb and then let it explode after 3 seconds. Boom. We just made a game.
Now may I do my impression of how the meeting must have gone?
Sure.
You may.
The pitch meeting. Okay, guys, get this. You know what game's really popular right now? Pac-Man. Recognizable protagonist forging the way for the mascot era of the 90s to come. Gameplay that encourages skill sets like reaction time and strategy and very competitive nature in the high scores. An addictive nature because it's so simple to understand, easy to play, yet hard to master. Okay, you guys get all that? Throw all of that out the window. Let's not do it anything like Beckman. Let's just do our own stupid crap.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slap some journey on that.
Wow, so Nintendo of America refused to issue the game Deadly Towers, Nintendo Seal of Quality, unless if they changed the name from Hell's Bells.
They were like super against religious iconography back then.
Which is weird because there's so many.
Because
blatant...
Legend of Zelda, there's crosses everywhere.
Yeah, and there's like it's not even there's tons of games that have that stuff that have the religious overtones in it. It's crazy.
Couldn't catch them all.
Pokemon.
Heart so true.
Oh man, first Dungeon Maze has 167 screens. 167
screens.
That's
so
pretty
awesome.
That's pretty impressive.
That's bigger than some modern games, and you know that's true.
Yeah, but modern games give
Looking
you
at
enough
you,
information
Modern
to
Warfare
kind of
solo.
Figure out where to go. You know, like a map.
Yeah, they hold your hand.
Or an annoying
like,
fairy that says, hey, listen every 5 seconds.
Oh, have you not beaten the level in the past 2 tries? There's an invincibility star that also gives you infinite flight. No challenge whatsoever now. Have fun, kiddo.
Yeah, dude, if you're 5 years old, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Being 5 years old is stupid. You should really grow up.
Okay. I'm confused.
Screw you, 5-year-olds.
Are dumb.
I don't understand what's going on.
The kids are dumb? Yeah. I love kids, don't get me wrong. They're cool, but they're dumb. Like, that's just the truth. I just laid a truth.
Bailey, you know that you were a kid at one point, right?
No. Nope.
Yeah, and I was a really stupid child. Okay. Like, I wasn't even a cool
I bet 5 I bet 5-year-old Bailey would kick your ass for bringing Deadly Towers to the showdown.
I bet he would punch me, and then his hand would hurt a little bit, and he would start crying, and then I would laugh at him.
But wouldn't you be crying as well?
No, because 5-year-old Eric
no.
couldn't punch that hard. No way. No.
I mean, this game was
kind of a bruise.
I will applaud this game for its merits, but it's very overambitious.
At least it has merits.
Oh, yeah. Wars. Yeah. You know what we should do?
First 2D fighting game? What should we do?
When we go to Indie PopCon.
Yeah.
In May.
Yeah.
Which everyone should come to.
Yeah.
We should have a Urban Champion tournament.
No, Jason. No, I told well, you we'll we're playing Mega Bomberman. Okay, we're playing 5-player Mega Bomberman. I didn't get the multi tap for the Genesis and 5 controllers just for you to have a Urban Champion what? Tournament. Okay,
we're
it's not
so
gonna
for 3
happen.
3 days straight. We're just gonna be playing.
Yes,
that's a wrap. Yes, Jason.
That's exactly
Mega Bomberman.
To do.
Have you ever played Mega Bomberman?
No.
I want to play. I just yelled into the mic really loud. I apologize.
This is absolutely right. An abomination to retro gaming everywhere,
and abominutely an absolution.
Can we play Journey?
No.
No, the band. Yeah, we can put the records on. I love Journey.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
We can listen to Journey while playing Mega Bomberman. This is going to be the best. What are the dates for that event again? It's going to be awesome.
May 29th to June 2nd?
First.
You're June 1st?
Wrong on both counts, I believe.
No, June 1st is right.
It's May 30th.
It's May 30th through June
30th. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
On.
Wow, that was close.
No, actually, I think we have to be up there
when it is.
On the 29th to set up. I think that's what we have to do.
Really?
Yeah, I think we have to set up the night before.
Okay. Well, that'll be fun.
I'll double check.
I'm down for that. The only thing is my plane gets in at 10 p.m.
Oh, we'll be set up by then.
Well, I guess
on the
me
Thursday.
And Hunter will do all the work.
Yeah, we will. It's all right.
Sorry.
So,
yeah, Deadly Towers
really
is awful.
It's not, though. That aside, do
okay.
we really need to make any more argument? What? What is it, Hunter?
Let me
Go
say
ahead.
This.
What is it?
Let me say this. You ready? Yeah. So we can kind of leave out Journey Escape because it's just an awful game.
Agreed. No,
no it's great.
No, it's an awful game.
Jason, shut up.
You're it's done. Timeless.
Now, when we take Urban Champion and Deadly Towers... As I actually played Deadly Towers like a week and a half ago. I will admit, both games have not aged well. They haven't, man.
I would argue that Deadly Towers has aged much better than Urban Champion. You can disagree with me if you want, but I would actually put that out.
But there. It hasn't aged well.
I think it's better in retrospect than it was at its own time.
I would take a 2D fighter competitive over a crappy isometric.
It's not competitive though. You're making this weird argument that Urban Champion has this like deep tactical.
It does.
Nature. It doesn't. Sure it does. Doesn't. No.
Yeah.
That you play it for 2 minutes, you've completely experienced all there is to see in Urban Champion and feel right. and touch.
And that's why you have friends come over and you can have tournaments. And
okay. Okay.
Only if you're not playing Mega Bomberman. Hunter.
Here's the problem.
What?
There's no character selection.
You don't need a character selection.
There's no difference. Okay.
Everybody's on the same playing field when you start off. See, that's the biggest issue with fighters to begin with. The characters that you can choose from are not well balanced. There's only maybe a handful of games that I can even think of fighters where the characters are actually balanced, one of those being Killer Instinct.
You know what? I actually agree with you. You're right. You don't need different characters. Pong is good because it shows you the pure human element of one person against another. You're right.
My question is, how are they still trying to charge $5 for Urban Champion?
Where?
On the virtual console.
Oh. I know in the 3DS it's supposed to be 3D. They manipulated it so the backgrounds and everything. And
I've had discussions on Twitter with people wondering how Nintendo comes to make its decisions on what games get released when and for how much on its various release modules, because it's like they drew all the games on the back of a walrus and they throw darts at the walrus. That's how they pick the game.
So I've got an interesting, now that you mention that, because you know, obviously doing information on Deadly Towers, there's a pretty well-written joystick article. And
yeah.
One of the
that's a
just kidding. Well, they're hit or miss for the most part. So, but it's one of the paragraphs about Deadly Towers. It says why the game hasn't been announced on the virtual console yet. Presumably, a tester must go through the entire game before it is certified for Wii release. Since this is impossible, Deadly Towers can never be released on the virtual console. That begs the question of how it was released the first time. We have the theory that it gained sentenced through force of will, burst out of developers' computers, and demanded to be pressed onto cartridges.
This game is sentient on its own.
I would vote for it just based on that one paragraph.
Thank you. Then we don't need to go any further. Final arguments! Hunter, why should anyone vote for what game did you bring again?
I brought the only game to vote for, which is Urban Champion for the NES.
Sherbin Umpian.
A two-player fighting game, the first of its kind. It's definitely a fighter. Yeah, that's it's definitely a fighting game.
It's not the first, though. You can't just
on the NES. It is, yeah.
Okay, fine. First NES fighting game.
On an NES cartridge. Yes, it's the
Jason.
First.
Why should anyone vote for a game with a soundtrack that eclipses its gameplay, despite the fact that the soundtrack is still pretty crappy?
Journey Escape is the best chance you have of
wow.
Of
oh man.
I thought I was winging it tonight. Woo!
Don't stop believing, guys. Journey Escape.
You should vote for Deadly Towers.
No, you shouldn't.
Because when you're tired of the generic two-dimensional platformers, whether retro or modern, I guarantee that if you give this a shot, it will be a very different engrossing experience. There you have it. So that's the Retro Showdown. Remember to vote for your favorite on onemorecastle.com on the podcast episode page. Leave comments too. We love when fun little discussions burst forth from there. Just I should really shout out the people who watch the live stream, because I haven't caught up on their comments. They could have been making fun of me the whole time. I wouldn't know. But seriously, thanks to those who turned into the live stream. I want to give a quick shout out to, once it loads, awkward waiting period. Valerie Minnick, Rizard Core, Captain Knucklehead, Derek Moore, Jonathan Haley, Lisa Robinson. Apparently my mom tuned in tonight again. That's cool. Jason Lamb. Who's Chronoslinger? Man, we got a bunch of people. Cool. We even got okay. Warren Hunter. Yeah. Thanks to the live stream viewers. You are the coolest people around.
A live stream.
But tonight I love that. I wanna give a special mention to Ben Stegner. And he knows why. He knows why. You can follow him on Twitter at Stegnersaurus, Stegnersaurus.
What was that?
Stegnersaurus. Thanks, Ben. Stegnersaurus. It's spelled just like it sounds. And finally, an announcement. I just, to make it official and to make it perfectly clear, in case we haven't been vocal enough about it, the three of us, me, Jason, and Hunter, the hosts of the One More Podcast, are going to be at a convention called Indie PopCon in Indianapolis, Indiana. It takes place May 30th
right.
through June 1st. Wow. None of us are going to get it right. The point is, it's a cool event. Check out the guest list, indiepopcon.com. If you don't think it's a legitimate event, it's. I'm looking forward to it. Check out the Facebook page, 5,000 fans already. I'm looking forward to having a blast, guys. We did an event last year. We love doing it. Me and Hunter did that one. And Jason is actually like flying into the States for this one.
So this is a big deal. Like,
yeah,
this is a big deal.
A Canadian in the States, so, big deal.
Yeah, big.
Put it on your calendars.
Huge.
If you were wondering what event to go to this year, just go to Indie PopCon. Decision.
Even if it's only for one day. I mean, I know it's a 3-day event, and the 3-day event tickets are kind of expensive. If he could just show up for one day, just to come by and say hi. I mean, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff going on at our booth, so.
Yeah. That's true. We are going to make it memorable. We haven't even mentioned some of the plans we have.
We probably should.
You can trust us that, yeah, behind the scenes, we're working on stuff. We're going to make it memorable. You're going to meet us. You're going to have a great time. And I like the Midwest, like how it actually has events. I mean, it's not just an East Coast, West Coast thing. If you're just some guy in Ohio or Indiana or Kentucky, whatever, and you're like, why aren't there ever any big events here? There's a chance to drive a couple hours to one.
It's true.
Just saying.
And we're
so that's what I wanna
definitely going to be playing video games. So
we're definitely going to be playing lots of video games, which is always fun. Yep. Hunter, any self-promos? Any shows?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is imericm.com. You can find my other podcast on the official VGHC. It's called Breaking Bits that I do with the lovely and talented Mr. Tom Hall. I think that's... I'm 5'11". I don't know if that's... my favorite color is silver or gray.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Bonus content here.
So, I was born on Halloween, which I was born left-handed, but now I am right-handed. That's an interesting story.
Okay, that's weird.
That's weird.
It's an interesting story. So,
Jason, I'm scared to ask you to contribute.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'm 5'10".
No, you're not.
It's my favorite color. Can I choose black? Is black a color?
It's the absence of.
Yes.
Yeah, I like black. How tall are you, Bailey?
6'4".
Okay, how tall are you really?
Yeah, he's tall.
Hunter.
Yeah, he's.
Is he? Is he really 6'4"? I'm going
to
be the
offense of his own. He's tall and gangly.
I'm gonna be the shortest Canadian.
Yeah, I am gonna make you feel short.
Great.
I'm tall enough that just the other night I kind of had a weird moment. Was at a restaurant and they had like a mirror panel on one of the walls, and I was looking, and I'm like a head taller than the people I was standing and waiting with, and I was like, I don't know, I'm tall.
Yeah.
Like visibly, noticeably above average. Like I stick out.
Like, have you ever seen those photos of really tall people in showers and it's very awkward for them because the shower head is so low? That's Bailey.
Yeah. Cool. So, I look forward to it. Yeah. But yeah, so I give a shout out to tall Americans.
I don't know what that means.
You can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_legend. It's a literal underscore. They'll try and spell it out. I'm 6'4", 6'3"-ish, to be honest. I'm wondering if I said that. Favorite color is green. I have a number of quirks I won't elaborate on here. Thanks for watching. Send your listener email discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. Follow us on Twitter @onemorecastle. Facebook.com/onemorecastle is a great place as well, with exclusive discussion questions on retro gaming topics. Last but not least, listeners, do remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!